Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. This is Dr. Toni, and I'm today here with Dr. Lisa, and we're talking about a really important topic. We are talking about your thyroid. You know, so many women experience thyroid issues. You know, one of the stats is that 1 in 8 women will develop thyroid disease during her lifetime. Women are anywhere from 5 to 8 times more likely than men to experience thyroid issues. So many women experience it, and including you, Dr. Lisa.
Yes, I definitely did have a thyroid problem, and I might have had it for a while without realizing it, even though I'm a naturopath and I'm aware of the test to get. I think potentially like pregnancy and postpartum right away is when I started to experience symptoms of hypothyroidism. So, you know, I chalked it up to being a new mom and not sleeping. So I had like really low levels, low mood. I was just kind of dragging myself around. I also got anxiety. I did lose a lot of weight at first, but then my weight started to creep up. And you can listen to my postpartum journey. I think it's episode 2 or 3 to get a sense of what was going on with me then. But after about, I guess, 6 to 8 months of feeling that way and not getting any better, I finally sought out getting a full thyroid panel done because I was like, something's really wrong. I shouldn't be feeling this way for this long. Like, it was even exhausting to think about reading a book to my son, Stuart. Singing him songs took all of my energy. Even just getting him out the door to his home daycare that he went to, I guess when he was 9 months old. So that was probably about the time I got tested. So I said, forget this. I can't go on. So I had the full thyroid panel tested, not just the standard TSH, which we'll get into. And it came up that my T3 was low. That's the most active thyroid hormone that's going to make you feel your best in terms of energy and mood and best for your metabolism. So with my naturopathic doctor, because yes, we all need our own healthcare team, they prescribed what's called desiccated thyroid, which I can prescribe for patients as well. And it's different than what's called the Synthroid or levothyroxine, which is the standard prescription medication for hypothyroidism, so underfunctioning thyroid. The Synthroid or levothyroxine is T4 hormone only, whereas the desiccated thyroid, it's going to sound a bit weird, but it's a from the pig, it's a pig thyroid gland, and it has T4 and T3 and T1, T2, and other substances that help with thyroid function. So I went from feeling totally exhausted, low mood, just having no vitality, and I couldn't even get out of bed hardly, to within, honestly, it was a couple of days, I felt like a light switch was turned on. So I started taking the desiccated thyroid first thing in the morning. I was on the lowest dose, and I still am, but it made a world of difference. Like, I wanted to get out of bed. I had the energy to exercise. My mood was better. So I was doing all these other things, but that was really the missing piece to the puzzle. Of course, I had to address, as you'll hear if you listen to that episode, some mental, emotional issues, sleep deprivation issues, but I was having a hard time breastfeeding, and that can be a sign of low thyroid function if you don't make enough milk either. So potentially if it was caught earlier on my breastfeeding journey, maybe I wouldn't have had so many challenges, but it can be a game changer for a lot of women, right? I'm sure you see that in your practice as well, Toni.
So often, Lisa. And I mean, and I definitely kept it in mind when I was postpartum for sure, because that is such a common time for women to have thyroid issues, or at least for symptoms to really show themselves, and it being really clear that the thyroid isn't functioning properly. And I mean, there's, you know, the thyroid gland in our body is so, so important because, you know, it regulates our temperature, it regulates our energy production, it regulates our metabolism. It's involved in so many different areas of the body, and it can create so many different symptoms that just has us not feel great. And again, that's where, you know, like you said, when, you know, you finally get a sense that something's not right, do the proper testing to see that, treatment can make such a difference in your life.
Mm-hmm. People just get used to feeling a certain way. And then if they get, you know, tested and they find they have an imbalance and they get treated, they're like, wow, I didn't know this is what, you know, energy actually feels like. This is what enjoying my life feels like, instead of just going through the motions. Because as we, you know, talked about some of the symptoms already, but fatigue and exhaustion is a big one where we see so many people as naturopathic doctors where they're like, all of my lab tests are normal, but I'm totally wiped out. I just can't get out of bed. I can't get through the day without a nap. And then there can also be like everything sluggish, right? So your metabolism slow, so you gain weight, your digestive system is slow, so you're constipated. You can be like swollen, you might have swollen face, or you might have swelling in your ankles or your hands, for example. And you could have lots of aches and joint pain too. Tony, did you want to share some of the other symptoms you commonly see when there's hypo or underfunctioning thyroid, is what we're talking about?
For sure. When you have an underfunctioning thyroid, you know, like I mentioned, the thyroid is so important with regulating temperature. You can have an increased sensitivity to cold, so that you're just not tolerant to cold, or sometimes even heat or a temperature changes can be really off. And you know, there is that kind of slowing down. So you can have sometimes a slow heart rate. There's also can be an impact on your period. So sometimes you could have a heavier than normal period, or can really shift your cycle length. So you're kind of having irregular periods as well. With that kind of even decreased energy, you may have more cravings for sugar and carbs to really kind of try and get your energy up. And like you mentioned, Lisa, it can really impact your brain health. So there's definitely impacts with mood. And, you know, there's even a statistic that as many as 15% of women on antidepressants have an undetected thyroid problem as a potential cause of their depression. And it's even, you know, really looked at as one reason why antidepressants don't work all the time with a certain percentage of women with depression. Anxiety can be an issue when it comes to thyroid issues, both even underfunctioning and overfunctioning thyroid issues. And definitely an underfunctioning thyroid can really impact memory, concentration, focus. There have been studies of women in their 60s where they've seen that even a marginally slow thyroid function can actually cause dementia-like symptoms. And when that thyroid issue is treated, it can really improve their cognitive function and have a effect of protecting their brain as they get older too.
Definitely. Like I had, oh my gosh, so many episodes of, you know, the mom brain where maybe it was also the thyroid not working properly before I was diagnosed, where I'd forget things, or I got myself locked out of the house one day because I didn't bring keys, but Pete locked the door when I was going to drop Stuart off. Like all these things were happening that I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm losing my mind. And it was hard to remember certain words or things. And it really makes a difference when you're getting your thyroid hormone hormones balanced in terms of your focus, concentration, and memory? And how many women do we see, right, in their 40s even and 50s where they come to us, Tony, and they're like, I can't remember things, like my memory's going. And thyroid can be one of the causes. Of course, there can be other things as well, but definitely thyroid hormone is needed for brain function too. And even looking at it preventatively, like if you have an undiagnosed thyroid condition, which many people do, you actually have an increased risk of cardiac arrhythmias, so irregular heartbeats, congestive heart failure, because the thyroid regulates your heart rate and your rhythm too. And they actually have studied this. So in those people with low thyroid function or hypothyroidism, they had a 1.8 times higher prevalence of coronary heart disease compared to people who didn't. And then if they had an underfunctioning thyroid, they had a 2.3-fold increase in their risk of congestive heart failure. And then they can even have an increased risk of heart attack as well. So it's pretty serious. Like, we want to get our thyroid tested. We want to optimize thyroid health. We don't want to, you know, just treat everybody for a thyroid condition, because if you go in the opposite direction, like hyperthyroidism, then you can get into problems as well in terms of bone density or other negative cardiovascular effects, but you want to be in that sweet spot where you're living the healthiest life you can and you're preventing disease as well.
Absolutely. And especially that idea of the thyroid being important with heart health and preventing heart disease. You know, so oftentimes I will see my patients come in with higher cholesterol levels. And it's not just that, okay, you have to lower the cholesterol. There is a connection with the thyroid there as well. So that's really important to make sure that, okay, if you have high cholesterol, or again, even have a higher risk of heart disease, that you're really looking at the thyroid connection too. You know, even... it's a really key piece that I like to look at when women are looking at getting pregnant, because it can definitely impact our fertility. There is women with hypothyroidism do have an increased risk of miscarriage and preterm birth. There's a higher risk of developing, you know, prenatal and postpartum depression. And really severe hypothyroidism in pregnancy can cause risk to the baby in terms of development, and even potentially increase the risk of autism as well. And so definitely a really key piece to look at when you're having babies, but also after you've had your babies too.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's, you know, we need that holistic approach and analyzing at different times in your life to make sure you're okay. And it's, you know, it's like this is becoming rampant and, you know, it's been undiagnosed in a lot of women for a while. And, you know, we always ask, why is this happening, right? Why does it seem like all of a sudden everybody has a thyroid issue? Well, certain changes in our environment, right? Like how many chemicals or how many toxins, I should say, are we exposed to now than we were, you know, when we were children or when our parents were children. And these disrupt our hormonal milieu. So they mimic other hormones. They disrupt how our hormones work in our body. They tax our liver, and our liver's involved in the thyroid hormone metabolism. So all of these toxins confuses our hormonal system, and then it doesn't work properly either. And I think another major trigger for women can be being on synthetic hormones too, like the birth control pill. That's become very commonplace, not just to prevent pregnancy, but if people have imbalances with their cycles, PCOS, endometriosis, et cetera, they're put on these birth control pills that have synthetic estrogens. And these can trigger even your immune system to start to attack the thyroid, because one major cause of thyroid dysfunction is what we call Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune attack on your your thyroid. So your body's confused. And instead of fighting foreign invaders like viruses and bacteria, which it still, you know, potentially is going to do, but it's starting to attack your own tissue, your thyroid tissue, which is going to impair how it's working. And then it aggravates inflammation and you can't make your thyroid hormones the way that you're supposed to.
Absolutely. Those kind of issues with getting deficiencies in certain vitamins and minerals can really impact the thyroid directly, but it can also impact our immune system, cause imbalance, cause that overactivity of the immune system to start creating those antibodies and attacking ourselves, unfortunately, you know. So you really looking at, you know, any kind of deficiencies in vitamins like vitamin D, vitamin A, certain minerals are really key for proper thyroid function, iodine, selenium, zinc, iron. Those are definitely certain deficiencies that can pop up. Again, sometimes certain medications will cause those deficiencies. Also, it really important to look at, okay, you know, if you're, you know, on a low calorie diet, or even, you know, kind of just eating your standard North American diet, sometimes aren't going to have enough of those vitamins and minerals. Something like vitamin D deficiencies, we've talked about before, and that's where it's so important to be getting enough sunshine for a certain period of time without sunscreen on, or again, just making sure that you're taking an adequate amount of supplementation for that. Mm-hmm. Certain infections can also impact those vitamin and mineral levels in the body, as well as our favorite stress hormone, cortisol, can really impact that as well.
For sure. Yeah. And I think with the, you know, vitamin and mineral deficiencies, I have a lot of people like come and they say, well, I'm eating, you know, fruits and vegetables and healthy foods, but unfortunately our soils are depleted. Like they have maps where it shows how low, you know, different nutrients are in different areas of North America because of the over farming. And then if people are eating a certain way, like if they don't eat any seafood or seaweeds, for example, if they're vegan or vegetarian, they have to take some extra steps to make sure they're getting, you know, their iron, their iodine, etc., to make sure they're getting those right levels, because these nutrients are needed to convert our thyroid hormone, so T4, to the activated T3. These nutrients help us, you know, use these hormones properly. So they're key for thyroid function. And we don't always think, you know, vitamin D and iron, how's that going to impact your thyroid? But it really does. So it's taking a holistic approach. And again, too, looking at stress, right? Because if your cortisol is off, you're not going to make as much thyroid hormones, and you're going to suppress how you make them or convert them too. So it's a holistic approach. It's not just treat the thyroid. It's looking at what has contributed to this imbalance. And a lot of times it starts with, you know, what you're eating, what your gut function is. Do you have a leaky gut that can throw off your immune system and contribute to the autoimmune component? If you have leaky gut, you're not going to absorb the nutrients. Even if you're eating the right foods and taking your supplements, they're going to go right through you basically. So it's putting the pieces together for optimizing your thyroid function.
Absolutely. And then, you know, whenever I am seeing patients, women who are coming into my office, either they have symptoms of a thyroid issue, or they know they're coming in to see me and they know they have a thyroid issue and they're on something like Synthroid. The question I always ask is, okay, is it a true hypothyroidism where the thyroid isn't working properly, or is it this autoimmune issue, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where the immune system is attacking the thyroid? And that's really important to distinguish, because, well, while the conventional medical treatment for both hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's is the same, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit more, but, you know, you mentioned, you know, taking Synthroid, Lisa, but you know, from a naturopathic approach, we're going to be doing different things depending on really what the underlying cause is and what's really going on in the body. And that's where getting the proper blood work and the proper labs is really important. You already mentioned that it's important to get a full thyroid panel, the TSH, the T4, the T3, but also your antibodies to look at. Is there any thyroid peroxidase antibody? Is there any thyroglobulin antibody to see, okay, do we need to look at the immune system and helping to support the balance of the immune system and reduce that kind of attack on the thyroid in order to preserve thyroid function?
For sure. And I have a lot of people ask me, well, why doesn't my medical doctor test all of these? And to be honest, it doesn't change the way they treat you. Their guidelines are to treat you based on that TSH. And if you fall within that reference range, you know, 0.5 to 4 or 5, then you're, you know, normal, if you will. And if you fall outside of that range, that's when they're going to treat you with Synthroid. If you have antibodies to the thyroid, that's not going to change your treatment. You know, if your T3 is a certain level, maybe with some specialists that may change your treatment, but in general, they look at the TSH. Whereas for us, if you have an autoimmune component, we definitely start with digestion and the gut, looking at food sensitivities, your gut microbiome, because that influences your immune system. So we just come at it from a different angle. And yeah, as you said, Tony, so there could be that autoimmune attack to the thyroid. There could be you're not making the thyroid hormones at the thyroid level. It could be coming from the brain. And then you can also look like you have everything normal, maybe even from a naturopathic blood test, but you may have what's called thyroid hormone resistance, where your cells aren't able to take up the thyroid hormone. The receptors that bind them aren't working properly. So other like nutrient deficiencies, like Tony mentioned, vitamin A and zinc specifically, and even exercise can make your thyroid hormone receptors take up the thyroid hormone. So you get the benefit of those hormones in your system.
I often kind of describe it, and I don't know if this is helpful at all, but I think of it like, okay, if you're building a fence, it's one thing to have all of the materials there, the wood, the nails, the paint, all of that. But unless you actually have the work done, all of those materials will just sit there and you won't have a fence built. You need to get the fence built. And that's the kind of idea is you may have all the hormones there, but you need to make sure those hormones are working properly in your body. And definitely some of those nutrients are, you know, the real key behind getting that done.
I love that analogy. That's a great way to put it. You can't just gather all the materials or, you know, do all the courses. You actually have to put it in action or build something for you to have the desired outcome. So great analogy, Tony. Thanks for sharing.
Good. I'm glad you like it.
And then, yeah, you mentioned some great tests. So you definitely want to get the full thyroid panel. You can get your vitamin D tested. You can get your iron and an iron panel tested. You may get some other markers of nutrient status tested as well. You know, with your naturopath, with Dr. Tony and I, you can get your cortisol, your stress hormones tested, your female hormones tested. So you can go beyond just the regular thyroid panel to get to the root cause. And then you know you're going to hit the nail on the head, because it's usually, we call it a triad. So between our thyroid gland, our ovaries, and our adrenal glands, they all communicate amongst each other. And if one gets out of balance, another one can try to pick up the slack, and then that can become out of balance too. So we can't just address one point on that triangle. We need to also address the female hormone balance and also the adrenal gland function, and then everything else we talked about as well.
For sure. Like, you know, like our gut health, making sure that there isn't any kind of gluten sensitivity, celiac disease, or anything else that's creating either extra stress or an immune system imbalance, or, you know, preventing you from absorbing your nutrients. That's key to look at, as well as, you know, looking at, has there been any heavy metal exposure? Just, are you the type of person that you don't detoxify, eliminate any kind of cadmium, mercury, that kind of thing that we can kind of, you know, absorb and collect, from really kind of general exposure in our environment, as well as, through fish or, light bulbs, batteries, those kind of things. But there are specific tests, and I specifically look at different urine tests that can be done to see, is your body holding on to these heavy metals? Because those heavy metals can, again, really interfere with thyroid function as well as immune system function too.
For sure. Yeah. Heavy metals are a big one for a lot of people with thyroid dysfunction. And even thinking about, so we need the right amount of iodine, right? So if you know the periodic table in the same column, it's the halides, there's bromine, fluoride, chlorine. If we're exposed to so many of these from our water, from our toothpaste, there's bromine in baked goods and flour. This can displace your body's ability to hold on or use that iodine, and then you can get into thyroid problems too. So you need the right amount of iodine, not too high, not too low, but just that sweet spot to make your thyroid hormones too. So it's looking at, okay, what can I eliminate from those halides? Can I get some filtered water? Can I switch up my toothpaste? Can I avoid these processed baked goods? Of course, for other reasons as well. But this all adds up and impacts your thyroid function. And then people get concerned too about the goitrogenic foods, right, Tony, like the brassica family of vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, etc. And yeah, they're so good for so many reasons, for estrogen detox, liver support, but you may want to lightly steam them to reduce that effect on the thyroid. So anything goitrogenic, if you have too much of it, you can slow the thyroid function and potentially get an enlarged thyroid. I rarely see that happen when people consume a lot of these foods, but if you lightly steam them, if you make sure you're getting in a little extra iodine from iodized sea salt or seaweeds or seafood, for example, that can counteract the impact of those goitrogens. Even soy can be a goitrogen too. And I always love to explain, if you look at miso soup, it's the perfect balanced food because it has, yes, soy, but it's fermented, so it's easier on the system, but there's also seaweed in there and iodine. So you're counteracting that potential slowing effect of the soy on the thyroid with the iodine in there. So it's, everything in moderation and in balance is key.
Yeah, you definitely don't have to, never eat broccoli again or cauliflower or never have any soy. It's just about eating those foods in a way that really makes sense. So they're properly processed to have that goitrogenic effect really decreased. And again, like you said, having that seaweed, having that source of iodine is really key for sure. We'll also... really when you want to look at really supporting your thyroid function, you really want to look at, those root causes. You mentioned yourself, Lisa, when you were experiencing the thyroid issues postpartum, you had to look at, stress. You had to look at what was going on that way that was impacting your thyroid. So you do have, it can be a well-rounded approach, and it's not always easy to kind of look at, okay, what kind of stress do you have in your life and how you manage that. But it really is important to look at that kind of mental, emotional picture so that you're not just leaving stress to kind of run rampant in your body, but you having some tough conversations, really getting professional support from not just a naturopathic doctor, but also, psychologists, other different kind of mind-body therapies to really make sure that that you're doing the best that you can and really lowering that cortisol as much as possible in the body.
Definitely. Yeah, that's really important. So addressing it from all angles. And even if you're looking at, I'm not trained in Reiki or I know a little bit about the chakras, but the thyroid is at the fifth chakra, and that's about speaking your truth. And for some people, when they have a thyroid dysfunction, maybe there's a block in their communication. Maybe they're not saying something they're supposed to be saying or speaking their truth. So that can be one potential trigger or additional cause that could be part of the problem. So I usually ask someone with a thyroid issue, is there something you're not saying? Is there some truth that you need to speak? Have you seen that too, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. And it really, sometimes it's so common for women to not be asking for what they want, or even really recognizing what they want, not asking for help, feeling like you need to do it all yourself, instead of asking for support from your friends, from your community. That can be really common. Absolutely. It's, you know, something that a lot of us need as well. It's still a work in progress.
It really is. Yeah, it's a struggle, right? We have the illusion we have to do it all, but we don't have to do it all alone. And we were never meant to. There's a quote like that from Brené Brown. So, you know, we put so many expectations on ourselves, and me becoming a new mom. And I was a working mom when Stuart was 2.5 months old. And I think you went back to work pretty early too, Tony. But I had ideas of, you know, what a mom was. My mom was, you know, stay at home most of the time, work part-time sometime. But I had an idea of what Stuart's childhood should probably look like. But for me, I knew I couldn't be that stay-at-home mom. I really am passionate about my work and what I do. So that was part of my, you know, accepting my situation, recognizing I was still going to impart gifts on Stuart and great memories. It was just going to be different than my childhood. And that was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It really has to often come with some acceptance of looking at our expectations, what we create from ourselves, what we see from society and culture and our families as well, and then really looking at what really works best for you, what works best for your family.
Definitely. No, really good point. Yeah. So let's say someone comes to us with a thyroid problem. Let's talk about, you know, the support that we can offer. And I think we gave you a sense of, you know, the initial approach is doing some testing, whether it's blood, saliva, and or urine, to look for deficiencies, imbalances in your cortisol or female hormones, maybe doing some testing for certain heavy metals, looking at your liver function. So you want to get a good baseline sense of what's going on there. So we talked about the testing, and then you would deal with each of those concerns as they came up, right? Before you actually got to the thyroid, because sometimes addressing those issues may be enough after some time to get the thyroid working properly, right? But if you're still having issues and symptoms of hypothyroidism, your lab values aren't where you want them to be or we want them to be, then we would look at some treatments. So typically we would start with, you know, some herbal support, some vitamin and nutrient therapy. So replacing those deficiencies, there's some great herbs that can help with thyroid function, whether they address adrenal support, you know, ashwagandha, for example, some of the herbs that contain different like iodine, some of the seaweeds and kelps that you can get in supplement form can make a difference. What kind of herbs do you typically like to use in thyroid dysfunction, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, I find that one of my favorites is ashwagandha, just because it's so beneficial for the thyroid as well as for our stress support and our stress management in our body. I've definitely had patients where, you know, the TSH, even just looking at the TSH, it is not really in an ideal range. I often see where if it's over 2, okay, it may be something that we really need to work with. And even just giving some adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha can really optimize the thyroid levels in the blood and have, you know, those women feel better too. So that's a real key. There's there's other kind of thyroid specific herbs like Coleus verscoli, blue flag, bladderwrack, those kind of things can also be used too.
For sure. Yeah. And then even if someone comes to us and they're on Synthroid, so I find Synthroid helps people, right? It gets them past that first hump, but sometimes it doesn't take them all the way. Like they feel good, but not as good as they could. And it could be because they're not converting that T4 to the T3. So maybe they're lacking those nutrients to basically what we could say activate the thyroid hormone to use it appropriately in the body. So there are good formulations where it gives you those nutrients we talked about, like a bit of zinc, a bit of selenium, a bit of iodine, maybe some herbs in there. So it can allow you to use that T4, that Synthroid medication, to its highest potential, if you will. So that's another support that we give. But then also prescribing what's called desiccated thyroid. So I can prescribe as I mentioned, it's a poor sign. So a pig source, so vegetarian vegans, you're probably not going to want to take this. You can get it compounded though, where it's, you know, it's not from a pig, it's made in a lab, but it's the combination of T4 and T3. There's also T1 and T2 hormones. There's a measured amount of iodine. There's some other thyroid supporting ingredients in there as well, but it allows your body to get T3 right away as well as T4. So you feel the effects. For some people, you can feel it quicker and it might take you a little bit further along and you can feel, you know, better than maybe you could on the Synthroid. And a good way to monitor if your thyroid is working properly in addition to blood test is actually taking your basal body temperature. So there's a couple of different ways of doing it. If, you know, someone's trying to get pregnant, they'll take it right when they wake up every morning before they get out of bed, before they drink anything or do anything else, and they'll track and see when they're ovulating. But if you have underfunctioning thyroid, your body temperature is going to be on the low side. But you can also take a few readings a few days of the month, like, you know, right when you wake up, 3 hours later, 3 hours later again, and 3 hours later again, and see what's happening with your temperature and kind of taking the average and seeing, okay, is my temperature closer to, you know, the 37, or am I in the low 36s, or even, you know, high 35? So that's a sign of how your thyroid function is and how your metabolism is as well.
For sure. And I think that can be such a key piece of really looking at that overall, is your body using those hormones properly? And, you know, some women, again, will do great on Synthroid because they're able to really convert that T4. Some women do better on something like a desiccated thyroid, or if that's not a possibility, even adding in a T3 therapy on top of a T4 therapy too. And that's where working with someone who can really guide you through this, be able to prescribe. While I'm not able to prescribe in Alberta, I do work with other practitioners who can really work with my patients to really, again, figure out the right dosage of the right support to get you where you really need to be, because it's going to be different for each person.
Yeah, it always involves, you know, monitoring and tweaking, because we all are different and we all use hormones differently and our receptors use them differently too. So it's not like, oh, this is the standard dose. It's like, let's prescribe, let's retest, let's modify and go as needed, and really listen to you. It's not, you know, necessarily the lab result that we're treating. We look at that, but we look at, how do you feel? Have you noticed any changes? Do you notice your energy's better? Is it easier to drop a little bit of weight? Is your focus good? How's your mood? Maybe you're going to the bathroom a bit more frequently. You're not going every other day, which I commonly see for so many women where they're having a bowel movement every 2 days. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd be so uncomfortable, but
yes.
That could be part of the thyroid. So that's, yeah, a good point. So it's getting monitored and then adjusting accordingly.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, okay, there's a lot here. What do I need to cover? You know, go to our show notes, go to our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. We have the show notes. We have it all laid out for you so that you can make sure that you're following the right steps, getting the right kind of testing to, so that it really makes sense to you and your thyroid can work the best that it can.
For sure. And Tony, if you had to pick like your top two or three thyroid supporting foods, what would they be? And I could list mine after.
Oh, one of my favorites is dulse seaweed. You know, you can buy it. I often kind of dry it out so I can just like sprinkle it in soups, in, you know, stir fries, you know, what have you. So you can get that extra seaweed, extra iodine. So that's probably one of my favorites. How about you, Lisa?
Yeah, like even getting in, you know, Brazil nuts. So a few Brazil nuts every day, you know, references say 3 to 5, potentially 2 to 3. You can get a good amount of selenium. And if you have those antibodies high to your thyroid, selenium, and especially what's called a selenomethionine, which is a form of selenium, taking the right amount every day, I believe it's 200 micrograms, can help lower the thyroid peroxidase antibodies. Of course, you have to do other things, but Brazil nuts, great for selenium, pumpkin seeds, great for zinc, oysters as well, right? So those are some really good nutrients to support thyroid function.
Definitely, Lisa, that's perfect. Awesome. Okay. Did we like cover the thyroid? Can we switch gears now?
Because I think so. Yeah.
I have an amazing super mom moment.
I can't wait to hear it.
I had a really great weekend. After dealing with some people being sick in the house, me going through a sore throat and getting the COVID testing and all of that. Thankfully, what I did was planned a spa day with my friends down in Lethbridge, where I grew up. A good friend of mine, Rachel, has an amazing day spa called Pure Spa. I had this wonderful hydro massage. It was a combination of one of my two favorite things, hydrotherapy and massage. It was amazing. Got to catch up with my friends. And, it's one thing to just go for a spa day, but what I thought really made it a super mom moment was we were able to stay with my mom, have a family visit, make sure that we were all healthy at the time. So really got that combination of time for me, as well as, time for my family, having Frankie, visit with grandma. It was just wonderful that was all possible for us, right now, especially, dealing with this pandemic. It's been tough. So, we were able to do it safely, do it in a healthy way. And I felt like a big super mom being able to fit it all in.
Sounds heavenly. And it's also important too, right? For your thyroid function to lower stress hormones maybe you're absorbing some things from the hydro massage. I'm intrigued by that. I have to learn more, but that sounds amazing. So way to go. That's, nourishing yourself. So then you can continue to give to, your patients, your clients, to Frankie, to your relationship. We have so much to give to others. So that's amazing. Great job.
Thanks. It was really rejuvenating, just a nice little switch to kind of the normal day-to-day that we're going through right now.
Definitely.
How about you, Lisa? Like, I know you are an amazing mom. You're juggling all the balls and keeping them in the air, but was there a mama mess up? Did any balls kind of
Yeah, they inevitably do, right? You feel like you have them in the air for a bit, and then it's like, oh, there goes one. Oh, there goes all of them. Well, I did drop one. So sleep was starting to become more of a challenge for Stuart. So he was doing so well for a while. I think he doesn't need a nap, so we've started to drop that now. But he was taking a while to fall asleep. So we'd put him down around 8:15, but he would keep getting up like probably, 3 to 4 times, over an hour. He wasn't settling down and going to sleep. He seemed pretty wired. So I had to step back and I'm like, why could that be? Like we're dropping the nap. What else is going on? So it was like, okay, well, after dinner, he would, get something to eat. We try not to call it a treat, but maybe a dessert. So he was reaching for some, the Made Good bars, or if we made some gluten-free, dairy-free cookies or bought some, he'd have one of those. But for myself, I know if I have sugar, it's really going to impact my sleep. And I'm like, well, he's a little guy. Like, yeah, there's not a ton in there, but it's still sugar. So we cut that out. And then we were also letting him watch a bit of, there's some stimulating like dinosaur shows on where there's different dinosaur songs. And he really liked that, but it would kind of pump him up. And then we'd play dinosaur. And then in his bed, we'd read a story, but then we'd sing a song that was more kind of upbeat, and he would kind of be bopping around in his bed. So of course he wasn't unwinding and settling down. So we mix that up too. He's not allowed to watch a dinosaur story it's called, and dinosaur shows at night. We've cut out the sugar so he can have chocolate yogurt, which is not chocolate. It's a carob powder mixed with unsweetened coconut yogurt or some fruit. So he likes that and he thinks he's getting a treat, but it's not chocolate or no sugar in there. I'm using the Stop, Think, Breathe app or the Insight Timer app for different children's bedtime stories or songs or breathing exercises. So we'll do that before he goes to bed. So it's made a world of difference. We turn the light out. We close his door. Knock on wood, I'm scared to say it, but he stays in his bed and he falls asleep pretty soon after. So sometimes you just don't realize that, okay, we need to change the routine. What we're doing isn't working. How can we modify it? So I guess it turned out to be a super mom moment, but a mama mess up because we let it get to that point.
But you were able to really recognize what was going on and turn it around. That's super mom to me.
Thanks, Tony.
Maybe a mess up to get that where, but you ended up as a super mom, Lisa, and that's what's important.
That's right. We recognized, we have some control over this. So sometimes there's no help with their sleep. They can just be going through phases, but luckily this did the trick. So fingers crossed awesome. It holds. Yeah, but Tony, what's your mama must have for the week?
My mama must have for the week is one that I've been relying on for months now. Really important in my life is to have really simple, easy breakfast or kind of snack go-tos. And one of my favorites is the egg muffin recipe from Amanda Beatty. She was on a previous episode. We'll link to it. I think it was like episode 4 or 5. It was really one of our early episodes. She has some amazing tips for healthy eating for kids and for everyone. And she has an amazing egg muffin recipe. It's on amandanaturally.com. We'll link to it. I love it. Super easy to make. Good source of protein. Also has some veggies in it. So it's one of my favorite breakfast and snack go-tos. Frankie loves it too. And sometimes her daddy will have some too. So just so awesome to have something quick and easy to have at home or to, throw in a container and take to go.
Amazing. I haven't tried that recipe of hers, but I've tried other ones. Yeah, she always has such tasty and easy and like super healthy recipes. So I'm going to give that a go for a different option for breakfast for Stuart. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, highly recommended.
Yum. And my mama must have, well, I guess because we're talking about the thyroid, I'm going to have to pick desiccated thyroid. So as I told you, I'm on the lowest dose, 30 milligrams. But, I did work on everything else and it helped to a point. But this was the final piece that just turned the light switch on for my energy and for my mood. So I take it every morning, at least, an hour away from my tea or coffee, which we need to make note of. If you're taking anything with thyroid hormones, you want to have it on an empty stomach, not close to caffeine, ideally 4 hours away from any calcium, iron supplements, just as an aside. But the desiccated thyroid's really been, I think, a game changer for me. So, and who knows, hopefully, maybe I can even wean down the dose, but I keep getting my levels monitored and it seems like this is the right dose for me right now. So get your thyroid panel tested. It could be a game changer getting the thyroid support you need if your thyroid's not working properly.
Sounds like a big mama must have for you. So absolutely. And I'm sure it's probably a mama must have for a lot of women out there and they don't even realize it yet.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. Please connect with us at our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. That's where we have our show notes for all of our episodes, including those older episodes. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts that don't show up, go to our website, perimenopausalmamas.com. All of the episodes are there. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We'd love for you to subscribe, leave us a review and a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. And go ahead, share, tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Stay safe. Take care, everyone.
Bye.